By. Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Integrated Performance and Availability Management using a Megamon XE for mainframe networks. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. This teleconference will discuss its monitoring, management, and alerting capabilities, as well as the uniquely powerful capabilities of the Tivoli Enterprise Portal and a Megamon Dashboard Edition to integrate network performance information with key performance metrics from other Megamon monitoring tools. The teleconference will be hosted by Mr. Ed Woods, IBM Certified IT Specialist, Tivoli Performance Automation. At this time, I'll hand the teleconference over to our speaker, Ed Woods.
Good day, everyone. Thank you. My name is Ed Woods. I'm a consulting IT specialist with IBM Corporation, and I'm here today to talk about integrated performance and availability management using a Megamon XE for mainframe networks. Now, the word integrated, I think, is a lot of ways is the most key portion of the title because that's really the focus of what I want to talk about today. Is first of all, the whole notion of managing network performance and being able to then ultimately integrate that into the overall performance management infrastructure on ZOS. So the premise is look a bit at how you can use a Megamon XE for mainframe networks to understand what's happening in the network layer. But more importantly, in a lot of ways, is I'll make suggestions on ways you can take that information and tie it in with other performance and availability information being gathered by a Megamon XE. So going to the next slide, which is the agenda slide, this is what we'll cover. First, we'll do a brief introduction to just general Megamon XE and Megamon DE. We'll talk about Megamon and the Tivoli Enterprise Portal and what is the portal, or the TEP as we call it. Then we'll talk about how the TEP may be used to provide a more integrated view of network performance. And by integrated, what I'm referring to is integrating that network performance data with other certain performance data and metric items. I'll show examples of how you can create a more integrated view of your performance data. And then we'll make some suggestions in terms of how that integrated view can help your overall performance and availability management strategy. Finally, as well, I'll talk about integration with NetView. Going to the next slide, which says Tivoli Enterprise Portal, or TEP, basically the premise starting out is the Tivoli Enterprise Portal is more than just the front end for the Megamon monitoring suite. That the Tivoli Enterprise Portal is an interface to a whole host of Tivoli performance and availability and system management solutions. So a Megamon is a central part of that, of course, along with things such as scheduling, automation, but also, as I'll mention later, there's interfaces as well from the Tivoli Enterprise Portal to NetView and other components. So the Tivoli Enterprise Portal is an important component for an overall systems management performance and availability approach. Going to the next slide, which says summary of IBM performance and availability monitoring solutions. IBM provides a whole set of powerful and capable performance and availability monitoring technologies. We're talking about monitoring for ZOS, monitoring for VM, monitoring for various distributed platforms, Linux, Unix, Windows, among others. You have corresponding Megamon XE monitoring solutions for each of these things. So there's an Megamon XE for Z. There's a Megamon monitoring for Kix, for IMS, for DB2, storage, for WebSphere Broker. But also, as well, there's monitoring in the open systems layer that integrates in when we're talking Linux, Windows, as well as DB2, Oracle, Sybase, SQL Server, middleware pieces, monitoring for composite application management, all sorts of monitoring components and capabilities, all of which can fit into this whole notion of the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. So one of the great powerful aspects of this approach is the ability to tie together monitoring from a diverse set of sources of information, but also integrate and view that information in such a way that it makes it easier to solve business problems and manage complex business applications as they exist today. So going to the next slide, which says Megamon and Tivoli Enterprise Portal on the heading, the Tivoli Enterprise Portal becomes the backbone, if you will, of an infrastructure that is fed by a suite of Megamon monitoring solutions. So in the top portion, we have Tivoli Enterprise Portal and Megamon DE, or Dashboard Edition. The premise of the portal is to provide the high-level monitoring overview and capability, the ability to have a multi-system view, a cross-platform view, to tie things together in ways that would be hard to do otherwise. The bottom portion of the performance triangle on the right side shows a Megamon XE, and on the left side shows 3270 interface. When we're talking solutions such as a Megamon solutions running on the mainframe, we're talking about a set of monitoring components and technologies. On the right side, you have the Megamon XE monitoring technology, which is GUI, browser-based, provides alerting capabilities, as well as automation, as well as real-time monitoring, and also historical. On the left-hand lower side, we have the 3270 interfaces. That as well shows subsystem, detailed analysis, historical, as well as real-time. When we're talking a monitoring solution such as a Megamon XE for mainframe networks, you get both pieces of this. You get the XE GUI interface with the detail, the high-level alerting, automation capabilities, as well as, on the other side, the 3270 interface, real-time as well as historical detail. And then the premise is that this, in turn, then plugs into the overall architecture at the top of the Tivoli Enterprise Portal with the capabilities of a Megamon Dashboard Edition. The idea then is that Megamon for mainframe networks plugs into an overall monitoring strategy. And this same architecture applies as well for Megamon for Z, Megamon for Kix, for DB2, as well as IBM Tivoli monitoring for other platforms. Going to the next slide, which says considerations of integrated network management. The network is often the case the essential component of performance and availability analysis. The network is the glue that ties many applications together, and poor network performance impacts inevitably application performance. Poor network availability also impacts application availability. All my databases can be up. My transaction managers can be available. My ZOS operating system can be up. My Unix can be up. All these things can be functioning, but if a key portion of the network is out, if the network is just performing poorly, well then I really don't have availability from the perspective of the customer. So then the challenge is, if there's a problem, well, where is the problem? How do you detect and isolate it? Is it a network problem? Is it a database problem, an operating system problem? Is it a problem in Kix or IMS? Is there a problem in the physical hardware? Is there a problem in some other portion of the infrastructure, inside the middleware, whatever? How do you isolate the problem unless you have an integrated approach? And so that's where being able to integrate network performance and availability management information in with all the other components of performance availability management comes so much more critical. Problem isolation is inevitably complex. So going to the next slide, which says most applications are composite in design. This is a typical example. This is a scenario that actually reflects a prototype that I put together for a customer to show the whole process of how you actually go out and build an integrated view using a Megamon Dashboard Edition of how to monitor a given application. So in this particular case, we're looking at a graphic overview that shows the flow of a single application, starting from the application server layer in the upper left corner, going to AIX through MQ Series middleware, to MQ talking on Kix. Kix in turn then talks to IMS. IMS in turn then talks to DB2. And in certain scenarios, the DB2 would then in turn talk to DB2 on a Windows box. At each step along the way, you have the potential for one or multiple network hops. At each point along the way, the network is a key portion of this. IMS could be perfectly tuned, DB2 could be perfectly tuned, but if the network was having challenges, then from the customer perspective, in terms of how they're viewing the application, performance would still be bad. So, as the item says in the bottom portion of the screen, the network is part of a much bigger picture, and always will be. Debugging and analyzing and managing these kinds of applications is difficult. So what we're looking at in this case is an example of how you can tie that information together to make that debugging process simpler. So the graphic represents the flow of the composite application that we're managing here. The green circles represent Megamon monitoring tools that are actually going out and monitoring key resources in the application infrastructure. And so, for example, we have green status indicators for Kix and for IMS and for ZOS and DB2, etc. We also have a green indicator towards the bottom portion of the screen that's tracking network performance, and that green indicator is being managed by alerts and whatever coming from a Megamon XE for mainframe networks. Going to the next slide, the benefits of an integrated dashboard approach are many. First of all, it reduces the time to resolve a problem. Identify and isolate issues much more rapidly. You can improve event management and problem isolation because alerts will be more meaningful, and when you get these alerts, they'll be more useful. They will more reflect a real problem. A lot of times what happens is you may have monitoring architectures that might generate alerts, but the key is being able to get meaningful alerts, actionable alerts, information that you can actually say, yes, this truly is a problem and it needs to be addressed. So as much as possible, you want to have meaningful alerts, not just generic alerts, but ones that actually do represent a true problem. So the integrated approach will allow you to solve problems more quickly because you'll be able to filter out the noise. When you can filter out the noise, the alerts you do have are more meaningful, realistic, and if you do get an alert, it's something that will be easily addressed. Improved ability to manage composite applications. That's the key thing. We mentioned that on the example on the prior slide. So many applications are across multiple system boundaries, subsystem boundaries, technology, hardware boundaries, etc. To be able to manage a complex composite application as an entity, you really need an integrated approach to be able to do this. And that's what this concept drives. When it's all said and done, you should be able to walk away with a superior performance analysis capability. Going to the next slide, which says Omegamon XE for mainframe networks, V3.1, what's the value proposition? Omegamon XE for mainframe networks is an Omegamon monitoring capability that runs on ZOS that monitors both the TCP/IP as well as SNA environments, so you can monitor all the applications that are talking to TCP/IP, monitor the activity, the input and output activity, all the bytes in, bytes out, datagrams, etc., as well as the SNA environment, monitor the LUs, monitor the traffic flow going in and out from the VTAM perspective, as well as TCP/IP. You have the common user interface, which is the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, gives you the ability to, again, manage all your ZOS-related resources from a single user interface. It's easy to configure because we're looking at something that is browser-based. You can have your own customized workspaces if you choose or use the out-of-the-box approach. I'll show examples later on of how you can customize workspaces. So you can define your thresholds and filtering capabilities, etc. You can also use the alerting mechanisms that come with the tool in the form of what we call situations. So the top bullet item here mentions out-of-the-box automation, 67 situations. A situation is an alert. And each Omegamon monitoring tool comes with a predefined set of what we call product-provided situations. These are alerts you get out of the box that let you go ahead and establish monitoring and start monitoring when you deploy the tool. It's a starter set. You can take these, use them as deployed, or actually go ahead and adjust them to make things more reflective of your environment. It's integrated because it integrates with all the other Omegamon monitoring tools we talked about. We also integrate with NetView, we integrate with TEC, we integrate with other IBM Tivoli Monitoring 6.1 monitoring capabilities. Going to the next slide, which says Omegamon XE for mainframe networks, options and interfaces. When you install Omegamon XE for mainframe networks, you get the support and capability for a choice of interfaces. So in this case here, we're looking at two primary interfaces when we're talking XE for mainframe networks. We're talking the XE GUI, which is what we see on the top. That provides both real-time as well as historical interface. It includes the automation and alert capabilities, the situations and policies as we refer to them as. Gives us our TCP/IP as well as our SNA monitoring capabilities. The bottom portion of the screen, we see an example of our Omegamon CUA interface. That's 3270 interface in and of its nature. You can monitor, again, your VTAM as well as your TCP/IP. It has both real-time as well as historical. You can also set exceptions and alerts in here. The alerting and exception setting capability, though, are more robust and more flexible if you can do it through the XE GUI, which is typically going to be my recommendation. It's also in the XE GUI where you'll get the integrated automation capabilities that we'll demonstrate a little bit later on in this presentation. The next slide shows an example of the XE portal interface. So in this case, what we're looking at is if you look in the left corner of the screen, you see the navigation tree, and we go from mainframe networks to TCP/IP, and then ultimately you have several lines that represent different displays you can go to. So here we can look at things like applications, we can look at the TCP/IP address space performance itself, look at the connections going into the TCP/IP stack, as well as gateways, devices, FTP information, interfaces into and out of the network, OSA, TCP/IP memory information, stack information, and also TN3270 monitoring. To go to the various displays, you would just click on the various lines. Each display in a Megamon XE terms is referred to as a workspace. So what we're looking at in this particular example is a workspace that shows basically the applications. We're looking at the byte rate going into and out of TCP/IP. We're looking at the application summary. Down in the bottom right corner is a portion of the window that you could enlarge and then see all the various applications that are talking to TCP/IP on this particular MVS. Going to the next slide, this is the 3270 interface. 3270 allows us to monitor TCP/IP as well as SNA. And you can look at the TCP/IP information, look at the applications, look at the connections. You can look at the devices, gateways, buffer information, similar information to what we were looking at with the XE interface. The difference is this is, again, 3270, and so you would have to enter letter commands and things of that nature to go from screen to screen. Going to the next slide, which says Tivoli Enterprise Portal and Omegamon DE. With Tivoli Enterprise Portal and the Omegamon dashboard, you have the ability to combine information to build these integrated multi-component views. So again, the most important word in the title of the presentation is integrated, because the real premise of what I'm trying to show here is how you can integrate information from network monitoring with other performance metrics and items, and that's what we're trying to accomplish here. So this is an example of a dashboard view you can build using a Megamon Dashboard Edition. So in this particular example, what we're looking at is, again, a graphic overview that shows the status of, in this case, a two-way data sharing environment. We're looking at DB2 and IMS and KICS. And, of course, in the middle of this all is, again, the network. So the network becomes the essential glue that ties the whole thing together. Underneath, you have individual portions of the workspace that target other key items such as ZOS and KICS and DB2, etc. What I'm going to show is later on in this presentation is how you can also add the network information into this consolidated view and get something that's even more detailed but still powerful and gives you the overview capability that you would like to have. Going to the next slide, which says event management and problem isolation. So in this example, we see that the green indicators that show what we're monitoring in terms of our Omegamon. So each one of these green indicators shows or reflects actually information coming from an Omegamon monitoring task behind it. We see that we now have a red indicator next to network performance. The icon has changed shape and changed color, indicating that we have a problem. In other words, what's happened is a situation, as we call it, has fired. A situation is Omegamon terminology for an alert. So for each alert that you would want to create using the Omegamon, you would create a situation that would actually go out and define and trap for that given alert. If you go to the next slide, what this shows is basically we've now dragged our cursor over where the red indicator is, and now we get a flyover window. And the little flyover pop-up shows the alert. We now see why this particular icon has gone red. So in this case, we see that we have a connection with a round-trip time issue. The N3T on the front portion of the name merely implies that this is one of the product-provided alerts. This is simply a naming convention. As I said, each Omegamon monitoring capability has its own set of product-provided alerts or situations. To get more information about this particular situation, if you look to the left of the alert name, you would see a blue icon. This blue icon indicates a link. You would click on that icon to get more detail about the alert in question. So in this case, then, we would go from our graphic overview, we see the red indicator, put the cursor over there to see the flyover to see what the problem is, click to the left where we see the link symbol, and then that gets us to the next slide, which is where we would actually see the problem detail. So in this case, we see details about the situation. So we'll see what are the details, what's the problem, is there any expert advice, and are there any predefined actions? So the details, we see initial status values and current situation status values. What this reflects, the initial situation value shows what was true at the time that the situation first fired or when the situation first went true. Current situation value shows, well, what's happening now? What we see is we actually see the problem has gotten worse as we have more and more connections into TCP/IP having issues. We see more and more of these connections have exceeded the response time goal. And so, presumably in a certain situation, if things are really backing up, it might get worse and worse and worse yet. If you look down in the expert advice area, you see that we have an explanation of what it means to have this particular response time issue. Since this is a product-provided situation that we're looking at here, what we have then reflects the expert advice out of the box. This expert advice, however, is customizable so that you can put in your own recommendations, your own standards, your own rules of thumb. You can put in things like contact names, contact phone numbers. There's also the ability to include hypertext links for web pages. Many customers that I work with have internal web pages that they use that contain documentations and runtime instructions and things like that. So that's a good way to include that internal procedural information in with the alert. The take action portion on the lower left is where you can have predefined commands, predefined actions. So the premise is then, once the problem has been isolated, you can then have the expert advice that makes recommendations on what to do, and then have predefined actions already set up. You would click to the immediate right of where it says select action. Select the command in question from a list of commands. Select it and then click run, and then it would actually go ahead and execute. Now, since we're talking about monitoring on a ZOS platform, what we're talking here then is the action typically would take the form of a console command that would go to ZOS. So what's the problem? What are the details? Is there any advice on what to do? And then ultimately taking an action. Going to the next slide that says use situations to build alerts. So what we're looking at in this case is how to set a given alert threshold using the situation capability that we've just been discussing. As I mentioned before, each of the Omegamon monitors, including Omegamon XE for mainframe networks, has product-provided situations that you get out of the box. You can use those as a starting point and then make your own. Simply enable the ones that come with the tool, tweak the threshold levels within them, or combination strategies thereof. In this case, what we're looking at is a fairly simple alert wherein we're tracking response time variance. And we're saying if it's greater than 5 seconds, go ahead and generate alert. So here we're looking at a single metric type of alert. One aspect of making the alerts more meaningful is that you can add more logic and sophistication to them, and I'll show that in a bit. So you can specify one or multiple attributes and variables for the alert. You control down towards the bottom the sampling interval. In other words, how frequently does the tool go out and check for the problem in question? You can also specify in the lower right corner the warning level. So you could say, is this a critical, is this a warning, or is this an informational alert? You can also specify whether or not this alert should run at startup when the Omegamon agent itself comes up. The names of the alerts can be meaningful. So in this case, you see just in the list, and this is just a small subset of the list of product-provided situations, you see names like connection, byte rate, connection, datagram rate. So in other words, the alerts are typically in English enough that you don't necessarily have to be a subject matter expert to at least get some understanding of what the type of alert is. Going to the next slide, it says a complete suite of Omegamon monitoring components. As I suggested earlier, IBM provides a complete suite of monitoring tools, all of which integrate into the Tivoli Enterprise portal. Each of these monitoring tools includes its own product-provided workspaces, includes its own product-provided situations. In this example that we're looking at here, we see that we have monitoring for Kix and DB2 and IMS and MQ and Unix System Services and WebSphere and all these other things integrated into this single portal environment. In the middle there, of course, again, you see the mainframe network piece. And there as well, you see underneath mainframe networks, we're seeing monitoring not only for TCP/IP but also VTAM, all integrated within the portal view. Again, one of the beauties of having the Omegamon XE for networks is having the ability to integrate that networking information in with the other pieces of the monitoring tool suite. Expanding up that portion of the physical tree some more, so we've gone to the next slide where it says IBM provided workspaces in the physical view. If you click in the navigation tree and you expand up the navigation tree to go down the line, then that's how you would go from workspace to workspace to see applications, to see address spaces, to see your connections, to see FTP, etc. And then continuing down under VTAM, you see we have VTAM address space, CSM, EE, and HPR type information all included on that side as well. You notice also, looking at the navigation tree, you'll see over a couple of the items in the navigation tree, you'll see a red indicator over connections, and you'll see a yellow warning indicator over FTP. The red indicator over connections was coming from that alert scenario that we were just looking at before. Going to the next slide, shows integration of network performance information. So the premise of the presentation then is the ability to be able to take information coming from the network monitoring capability and tie it together with information related to, say, in this example, we'll be talking about KIX monitoring. So here what we see is the application overview of all the various applications that are talking on this particular LPAR to TCP/IP. So we see the name of the application. So in the box that we have circled, we see all the various applications. So these are different address spaces, all of which are talking to TCP/IP. And if you go down about four or five lines, you see several CICS regions. And then if you were to scroll it down further, you would probably see DB2 and MQ and other things as well. But what we're looking at here in this particular example is the CICS applications. Other columns of information that can be of interest is we see the byte counts, byte rates, datagram rates, datagram sent and received. There would also be counters for things like connection failures and connection backlogs and other types of things that could be quite useful to look at. So the idea then is you can build a custom workspace that will target the applications, pulling out the relevant network information, and then tie it together with other relevant CICS performance monitoring information. That's what we'll demonstrate in the next few slides. So, going to the next slide, which says use the properties options to filter and view. What you would do then is you would literally just right-click on the workspace in question and then go into the filter options. So you see you have several tabs in the properties pop-up. One says query, one says filters, the other says thresholds and style. We're looking at the filters pop-up. In this case, the filters pop-up is an important one to use because this is where we have the ability to do things like, say, in the application name field, which is where I have circled here, we're going to go out and we're going to look for a substring, basically saying anything that contains CIC or CICS or however you want to do it, that's going to be a CICS region that we want to include in our integrated view. The other column headers that we see here, the byte rate, datagram rates, you notice that there's check marks in those. You would either click or unclick those check marks to control if those particular portions of data are also going to be included in the view that we are building. So by using this properties pop-up and then using the filters tab, this is how we can control the content. So instead of having to wade through all the network information that we might be getting out of a Megamon XD for networks, we're only going to really target just the key items. Next slide that mentions graphics. Same premise applies here as well. So not only can you filter the tabular data that we see in the table portion of the views, we can also use the same filtering techniques and capabilities to control how we view the data when we look at the graphics. So in this case, again, we're going to customize the bar chart and graphic portion of the displays so that, again, we're only looking at the CICS applications that we care about monitoring and that we want to include in our filtered graphic overview. Going to the next slide, now continuing on here. So now I've already filtered my network information. I've filtered my network detail. I've filtered my network bar chart. The next thing I want to do then is I want to pull in some actual CICS performance information as well so I can tie that into the same screen. So in this case, what I'm going to do is I'm going to build a new table of information. And to do that, you can control the content. You can request a given query. If you look inside the options pop-up here, we see click here to assign a query. If you click that, you will then be presented with a selection panel wherein you can select all sorts of different sources of information. And that could be queries from the CICS monitoring, the ZOS monitoring, whatever. Basically, what we're going to do from this point then is click and assign a query and go out and get some CICS information, some transaction information in this case, and pull that into the view so that ultimately where we get to on the next slide, slide 24, is the customized workspace. So in this case then, what we have is an integrated view that shows KIX transaction information in the lower left corner, network connection information for CICS in the lower right corner, and then a graphic that's tracking CICS activity in the upper portion of the display. So this filtering and integration capability can apply not only to just the tabular data we see at the bottom, but you can also use the same techniques for the graphics. And that could be bar charts, pie charts, plot charts, whatever. There's a variety of ways you can use and track this information. Once this is built, you now have a customized view that lets me then see not only what's happening just from the CICS task activity perspective, which is really focusing on the host portion, in other words, what's happening within the KIX region, but also lets me extend that view out some more so that I can actually see now what's going on relevant to the network connections going from KIX out to wherever they're talking to from there. If you want to save the view, what you would do is you would go up to where it says File in the top portion of the screen and then select Save As, and then this is the Save As pop-up you would get. So you can give the particular screen or workspace, as we call it, a name, and then you can specify whether or not this is going to be the default for this navigator, whether or not you want people to modify it or not, you know, and give it an adequate description or whatever. Once the custom workspace is saved, it's stored in the Tivoli Enterprise portal. Once it's in the portal, it's there hardened and ready to be used by your colleagues or whatever, so that this is a way to build a screen that's more targeted and specific and share it with other users to solve problems. Another aspect of the integration deals with links. So going to the next slide that says link drill down for additional detail, there's links that are built into the data. You can also build and add additional links as well. So in this case, we're looking at one of the links that comes out of the product, since I just took basically what amounts to a summary view of all the applications that start with CICS and tied that with the KIX task data. You notice as well then, if you click on the link symbol, we also have a drill down provided that says application connections. So you could actually get more detailed connection information. Also, if you look underneath there, you see an entry that says link wizard. What that is basically then, if there's not a link that you need built into the tool, you have the ability to add that. Again, this is a dynamic tool set so that you can add additional links and navigations as needed. Again, another way to tie and integrate performance information together. The next slide shows a little bit more about the link wizard. So again, from these various screens, you can select link wizard, and then that's what puts links either on the table data like we see in the middle portion, where you'd have like the link, it looks like a chain link or maybe like a paper clip, or you can see as well, you can actually put links on the icons, on the graphic overviews. So like on the icon that says ZOS performance, you can put a link symbol on there as well, and then click on that link to drill down and get more detail. The link wizard is what drives the dynamic building of these link capabilities, and it actually gives you all that drill down capability that we've been discussing. Going to the next slide, which says another example. So we've looked at an example that's specific to CICS. Another good example that might be useful is DB2 related. In many shops, DB2 is the back-end database for a diverse set of applications. These applications may be based on the mainframe. These applications may be based on application server layers running on Unix and Windows and other platforms, but use the DB2 on the mainframe as a back-end database. Now, if you happen to be a user of a Megamon XE for DB2, then you already have good monitoring specific to what's happening inside the DB2 database itself. A Megamon DB2 would show things such as the threads, the elapsed times in the threads, the various I/O wait times, counts, etc. Again, assuming we're talking distributed threads, we would show as well byte send and receive counts and things like that. But if you want to get a more detailed network breakout, because what if the problem is really more in the network and not so much in the database? How do you come to that determination? Again, using the same methodologies that we've discussed, you can do the same approach using DB2 as we do for other tasks like CICS. So in this particular example, we've gone into our properties pop-up again, and we've selected, again, an application name. And so here we're going to filter based on using DSN as a starting point for our filter to then target just specific DB2 address spaces and tasks that we're concerned about monitoring. So going to the next slide, we see detail available for connection level monitoring. So here what we're seeing is basically a set of connections going into the DB2 distributed address space. And these are individual connections into the DB2 task. So what we see is things like the connection number. We see, looking again inside the data, the connection state. And you see bytes sent, bytes received, And then some interesting numbers, if you look in the bottom portion of the window, what I've done is I've actually taken the window and kind of cropped it so that we could fit all the data on a single display, or as much of the relevant data as I could fit. And so here what we're seeing is the response time and response time variance. And so the response time variance is basically looking at the amount of time it took to go out and send a piece of data out and get an acknowledgement back, and that's kind of an average. The response time variance basically looks at, as you see in the help pop-up there, a statistical variance of response time since the connection was established. You can think of it this way. A response time variance indicates basically a deviation. It might be an indication of a spike. So in other words, then, it basically gives you kind of an idea of a high watermark. A lot of times you might see situations and scenarios in networks where things might be fine, and then you'll have a spike or a period of poor performance followed by a smoothing out of that performance. So the response time variance might give you an indication if you're seeing a lot of that spiking or spike type of activities. Other counters that might be of relevance, I've circled things like percent segments retransmitted. So if you're having issues with retransmission, fragmentation, or just want to get an indication as to the quantity of data being sent and received across the wire. Again, this is where we're looking at individual connections. This is a good way to monitor this. And what we've done in this case is said we don't want to look at all the connections inside of TCP/IP. We're just focused on the ones relative to DB2 in this case here. So using the same techniques that we've documented before, you can take just the relevant DB2 connections, tie that in with a DB2 thread view, just like we did with the CICS task view, and get a similar kind of an integrated view. Other application type information that can be important and relevant. If we go to the next slide that says monitor FTP activity, Megamon XE for mainframe networks provides the ability to monitor FTP activity. And so in this case, we're actually monitoring what's happening with FTP. We'll monitor the start and stop. We'll get the return code, the file that was sent or received, how many bytes of data was sent or received, and give you an indication as to what's happening from the perspective of what's going on inside FTP. FTP is obviously an important application to many customers. Same thing on the next slide. We're talking about monitoring of TN3270. So you can monitor TN3270, monitor how many sessions we have, and zoom in for details on individual ones down below. Going to the next slide that says availability monitoring. So far what we've talked about is more in the realm of performance monitoring. So in other words, these are indications of how well things are performing, how well the data is flowing. Are things flowing smoothly? Are we getting good response time? Are there any bottlenecks in terms of how the workload is flowing through the system? That's an important aspect of it, but there are other important aspects as well that fall into more the realm of availability. Availability is defined a little differently in that we define availability in terms of, are key resources available? Are the necessary adapters up and active and online and error-free? Are there other hardware items that are available, or do we have issues? Because we might have done a perfect job in many aspects of tuning our operating systems and other components, but if we have a key hardware item that's unavailable, then we still have not only a performance problem, but also as well an availability problem. As far as the user is typically concerned, if they're getting poor performance or no performance, then it's a problem. So similar to how you can use situations to manage and monitor for performance and response time and things like that, such as what we've demonstrated up to this point, you can also use situations to generate alerts and take corrective actions for availability. So going to our next slide, which says monitor OSA adapter status and performance, you notice how we can track such things as the status and state of the OSA adapters. So here we're actually monitoring an OSA adapter, and we have a state column here, and the state is online. So if we have some other type of state or problem indication or whatever, we can monitor for that and then have a situation that would check for that status indicator. And if it sees a problem or something other than online, then go ahead and drive an alert based off of that. That avoids those scenarios wherein you might have an important piece of network hardware that's had a problem but simply hasn't been detected right away because no one's been looking for the issue. Continuing on to the next slide, which says monitor OSA status across LPARs. So the OSA adapter is something that also can be used across multiple LPARs or systems. So what we're looking at here is the various LPARs that are using this particular adapter, and we see the LPAR names listed out here. So this is just another example of some of the drill downs or links for details that you get. And these are product provided displays that we're looking at here. So the prior screen, as well as the one we're looking at now, are out of the box workspaces, as we call them. Alert correlation integration, that's the next slide. That's the heading on the next slide. So just like we can do alerting for performance, you can do alerting for availability and the availability of key resources such as the OSA adapters. You can also create situation alerts to correlate, integrate, and manage these things. And we'll look at an example of alert correlation in a couple of seconds here. Where you can go to create situations, if you notice in the navigation tree, we've clicked on the connections line, and actually what we're doing here is a right click, which is how we get this particular pop-up. And if you select situations, that would in turn then get you into the situation editor. Now, going to the next slide, which says situations may be relatively simple. This is the situation that we were looking at earlier, which is here we're just looking for a response time variance, and we're saying if we see greater than a 5-second response time variance, then we're going to generate an alert. That's one typical example of a fairly simple single metric type of alert. Typically, though, you may want to make alerts more robust and complex and add more logic to them so that basically then what you have is some additional intelligence, if you will, behind the alert. The premise is to make the alerts more meaningful by tuning out information that's not relevant, tune out the noise, if you will. The next slide shows an example of what I'm talking about in this particular case. So here what we're looking at is an example of how situations may incorporate Boolean logic. And the example in this case here is we're actually looking at what amounts to three possible scenarios, each of which that may drive the particular alert in question here. So what we're seeing in this particular example then is if you look in the middle portion where we see the application name is CIC. So here we're building alerts that are looking specifically at CICS connections. So on line one, if it's a CICS connection and we have connections in backlog greater than zero, that's an alert. If you look at line two, again, we're going to see, is this a CICS application? Now we're saying if the percent of segments retransmitted is greater than two, that can constitute an alert. And then if you look at line three, again, if it's a CICS application, and if we have more than three datagrams discarded, that constitutes an alert. These are examples of and/or logic. You could have made these into three separate alerts. You could make it into one alert, which is what we have here. It's purely up to whatever your requirements are, how many alerts you feel you need to have, etc. Down at the bottom under sampling interval, you see we've set the sampling interval at 1 minute. If you look at the middle portion of the screen, you see that there's help as well, so that if you click in the datagrams discarded column, you get a description of what we mean by datagrams discarded, datagrams queued, datagrams received, whatever. That way then you understand what the meaning of the metric is and how we measure things and, you know, what you're putting into the situation. If you look at the top portion of the situation editor, you see a tab for distribution, you see a tab for expert advice, and a tab for action. If you click the distribution tab, that's basically where you would specify where this situation runs. So you might build a situation that would be useful for test LPARs but not production. You might build situations that are used for all LPARs. It's purely up to you. You have the ability to define the situation once and then distribute it out wherever you feel the need to distribute it out. The expert advice tab, we've talked about expert advice before. This is where you would go and customize the expert advice and put in whatever information you feel is relevant there. The next tab is the action tab. That's where you would go and specify a command. So in this case, if this situation were true, you could actually have it go and execute a command. Typically for this tool, that would be in the form of a ZOS console command. Another aspect of integration refers to what I would call correlation. One of the nice things about having the OmegaMon XE and the OmegaMon Dashboard Edition technology is Dashboard Edition provides for a mechanism that we're looking at here called a policy. A policy is similar to the concept of the situations that we've talked about some, in that you have a visual editor and you can set up alerts and then customize and set thresholds, etc., and then drive actions. Policy takes this concept to the next level, so that what we're looking at here is a three-part scenario. Step one is we're going to check to see if we have a network alert. So in this case, we're taking one of the provided connection round-trip time alerts, and we're seeing if that's true. If that's true, and then you see the blue line that says situation is true, then we're going to do a check to see if CICS response time is having an issue. If CICS response time is having an issue, then you can go ahead and issue a command to the ZOS console. And that command could be any kind of a ZOS console command. That could be an actual corrective action. That could be something that would drive the sending of like an email or a page or whatever makes sense. Usually most installations, if you can get a command to the console, you then in turn have the ability to drive paging notification, email notification, etc. The nice thing about this particular concept is you can correlate two alerts and then thereby make whatever the outcome action more meaningful. So in other words, it might be useful to know that round-trip time is not optimal in the network, but I don't necessarily want to do something in the form of an action until it actually impacts CICS. So until CICS is having issues as well as the network, I don't really want to do anything. I want to just, you know, let it go until I know it's really impacting my workload overall. And then if I have issues in both of these realms, then go ahead and kick off an action. The next slide talks about a Megamon and NetView integration. As I implied earlier, we have integration not only for the Megamon monitors, but the Tivoli Enterprise portal becomes, in essence, a de facto interface for many Tivoli monitoring and management solutions. So on the right side, you see one of the product-provided workspaces for Megamon XD for mainframe networks. If you look on the left portion of the screen, you see one of the workspaces that integrates with NetView, and you need NetView v5.2 for this capability. So basically then you install NetView 5.2, you have the ability then to interface that with the Tivoli portal and then pull information, connection information and things like that in from NetView into Omegamon XE views, further providing more integration and depth to what we've been talking about before. So in summary, the Tivoli Enterprise portal provides a means and mechanism to integrate many aspects of systems performance availability management. That's what's powerful about it, is not only can I just look at silos, I'm actually looking at a much bigger picture now. You have the ability to see not only just what's happening in the database or what's happening in ZOS, but also to look at the network portion and to make a more intelligent determination as to where the problem is. Is the problem a network problem? Is the problem an operating system or a database problem or whatever? It's a consistent tool set. It's a consistent tool set. So in other words, if I'm the network expert or the operating system expert or even, say, a Unix or a Windows expert, I don't even necessarily have to be a ZOS expert to be able to get on and look at the tool and determine, at least have some idea of what's going on and see what's happening on that platform. Most applications are composite in nature now and typically require a more integrated approach. So silo monitoring a lot of times doesn't get it done anymore because all this stuff integrates and ties together. You need to be able to have a monitoring infrastructure that can support multiple platforms and component technologies. Part of having an integrated approach is not only being able to see and view what's going on, but also to having an integrated methodology to drive alerts and automation. And so with the situation alert mechanisms built into Omegamon XE, you can set those alerts, and the situation mechanisms are the same, whether we're talking setting situations for networking or kicks or IMS, or we're talking, for example, DB2 running on Linux, Unix, Windows, or whatever it is. It's the same mechanisms, processes, flows, and look and feel. The integrated automation allows for correction of issues at machine speed. So where possible, let Omegamon handle the problem. The integrated automation also allows for the correlation, such as what we looked at on the prior slide. And so that's basically it. Integration is the key phrase. I want to thank you. Thank you for your time and your attention, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Now at this time, we'd like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key, followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. For our first question, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. And if it was low, press star 3. For our second question, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference at the right level, press star 1. Not technical enough, press star 2. And if it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. For our third question, do you have a Megamon XE for mainframe networks currently? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And for our final question today, we hope that you've enjoyed the teleconference. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And that does conclude our survey. Thank you all for your participation. At this time, we'd like to take your questions. If you do have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. Also, if you're using a speakerphone, please release your mute function so that your signal can reach our equipment. Again, that is star 1 for questions. We'll pause for just a moment. And again, that is star 1 for any questions or comments that you may have at this time. We'll go first to Chuck Mercante.
Yeah, hi, Ed.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Okay. I had a couple of questions. That dashboard edition, is that some kind of special plug-in? Does that come with Megamon XE, or how does that work?
The dashboard edition is a separately licensable item, and typically what it involves in is it's just an enablement that you would just click and enable when you install and set up the Tivoli portal. So technically it's just a piece of code that lives within the Tivoli portal, but you need to have that licensed and enabled. But it's not like you have to go get a whole separate, you know, piece of code per se. You just need to be licensed for it.
Okay. My next question is, in that slide 38, you were talking about the various policies that you can use to correlate the issues and execute commands and so on and so forth. Is that something that you can control? Is there like security built into that so that you can allow, like, you wouldn't want necessarily a help desk operator going in there and modifying a policy, but you might want the administrator only to do that?
Right, exactly. Yeah, there's security integrated within the tool that controls who can do what. So it controls who can create policies, who can create situations, who can create workspaces, if you can issue commands or not. And it looks at IDs and passwords, and you can, depending on how you set things up, you can have it do a rack check at logon time or use your Windows layers of security or whatever makes sense. But, yeah, this is securable stuff.
Okay. On slide 39, you talked about if you have NetView 5.2, you can integrate NetView into the XE workspace. With these alerts that get generated on XE, most of our operators use NMC views under NetView to monitor our network. Can we send alerts to NetView? Can the alerts that are generated in XE be forwarded to NetView?
Yes.
Can they go the other way? Oh, they can.
You can go bidirectional, yes.
Okay. And that comes with the product out of the box. There's nothing special you need to do that? Nothing special you need to purchase?
For the brokering to NetView?
Yes.
No, I don't think there's anything special you need there. And actually, as a matter of fact, if you go to IBM.com, I believe there's a white paper that actually describes the interface.
Oh, good. Okay, on IBM.com. That's good.
If you have a hard time finding it, you can maybe shoot me an email. I'd be happy to direct you towards it.
Yeah, okay. And then my last question is, the product is a good product, but we find it very complicated to customize and install. Is there any kind of contact or any person that might be able to help us, some subject matter expert on the installation of it? And most of the presentations I've done are like what you've done, which is how to use the product.
Right.
But we're struggling with the actual installation of the product, the customization of the product, things like that, actually getting it up and running. And it doesn't seem to be a lot of the information that's out there in the manuals. You got to kind of go all over the place to try to figure it out. And we spend a lot of time with level two trying to get the basic things configured so that we can get the product to work. Is there any document that maybe has a cookie-cutter step-by-step approach or any one individual that we can contact for not just for the use of it, which is good, but just for the actual installation of the product?
Right. Like you mentioned, the documentation is there, but documentation such as it is more of a reference versus a cookbook. Now, one thing that, you know, now that we're becoming more integrated into IBM because we work Candle, you know, you're going to see more and more red books and things start to emerge, which is more of the cookbook type of approach, but that's still very much a work in progress. So meanwhile, back at the ranch, if you need help now, I would encourage that, you should have a, obviously your IBM account managers and support personnel and stuff, and there should be a corresponding Tivoli person that would have responsibility for your account from just a sales and field support standpoint. And we usually have teams of field engineers such as myself that would be able to, you know, at least get you steered in the right direction, and depending on time and availability, even sit down and do planning. I know I've done that for numerous customers before.
Okay, so you wouldn't have no problem if I, like, contacted you after this with an email or something,
sure,
or same time or whatever. Okay.
Sure.
Okay, that's all my questions. Thanks.
Okay.
We'll go next to Carol Sharetta.
Yes, I have a question on the one of the screens, like 18. It was talking about the complete suite of OmegaMon monitoring components.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's OmegaMon XE, or is this the dashboard that you were talking about, or the driver board or something like
right.
that?
Right, okay. Yes, think of it this way. For each of the things on that slide, there's an OmegaMon XE monitoring agent.
Component, okay.
Right, exactly. So it's like snap-on tools. So if I want to monitor kicks, I'll get OmegaMon XE for kicks. If I want to monitor DB2, I'll get OmegaMon XE for DB2.
Okay.
And then if I want to have the pretty pictures that tie it all together, then I get the dashboard edition. So they're like separate components, if you will.
Okay. Okay,
but,
thanks.
But they all plug together. It's like a puzzle that you tie together, and you get a nice picture at the end.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
And Mr. Woods, it appears that there are no further questions. I'll turn things back to you for closing remarks.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much. Well, I just want to express my appreciation for everyone taking the time to attend. It's always fun to present this material, and I hope it was useful, and I look forward to working with all of you folks again in the future. Thank you, and have a good day.
That will conclude this IBM teleconference. You may now disconnect, and have a pleasant day.